I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
River Casino.
This dawned on me. James isn't here, and I don't really know if he's gonna, like, I know he's on the show. I just don't know if he's coming into the studio or he's popping up on the stream. There's a Kings game tonight.
There is a Kings game.
There's
a Kings
game. He told me he'd be on the stream. Center.
He told me, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
When he left, he said, I'll see you on the stream.
Okay. All right. Well, James will be with us whenever the hell he feels like it.
Do a James Hamm impression. What do you need?
Hey, James. How do you feel about Russell Westbrook and his potential impact on the Sacramento Kings?
Yeah, I could see it going both ways. No, I see that. They need length and athleticism.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Well, what did they say?
Length is important.
They sure did. Hang on. Ask me another question.
Who would you prefer gets more minutes, Keon Ellis or Malik Monk?
We don't touch other people's privates.
Well, there you go. We couldn't hear it, but I think everybody else heard it.
Everybody else heard it. I don't know why I took that out of your earballs.
I'm sorry?
Ear holes.
What? No, no.
Nah, bro, what?
Hey, not in this league, pal.
What?
Not in this league, pal.
Why don't you show yourself out? I know it's been everywhere. A long week for you, but come on, man.
Sheesh.
Goodness gracious.
That call by me.
We welcome in James Hamm. Ken
cheese and rice, what did I walk into?
I expected to see D'Lo over the top excited about Russ coming to the Kings. Buddy, I am. We've been on the air 3 hours. I'm thrilled that Russ. We've been on the air 3+ hours. I'm thrilled Russell Westbrook is here. I might be the only one who's thrilled that he's
I'm
here.
I'm with you.
KC's it's with
two,
me.
It's we a ride, man wolf
we really are the bad boys. Like, we ride together, we die together. That's just kind of how it is. Catch KC tonight at Bar West, by the way, the coach Brandon Marion for the Coach's Corner, beginning at 7 p.m. here on ESPN 1320. James, I'm sure I don't know what you've been doing since we last saw you. Twitter, text, friends. What's the overall reaction to the news that Russell Westbrook is the Sacramento King?
I don't know. I think it's pretty all over the board. Like in my timeline, I think that, sorry.
The dog is excited. No, you know why? Because Russell Westbrook is a dog. So obviously the dog is excited.
Real recognize real.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I think the overwhelming thing that I've seen is just like confusion. Like, because I think most people understand that the Kings have needs for this roster, and this doesn't fit one of the needs that they, I mean, if you want to say backup point guard, that's fine. But, you know, I just don't think that this actually was high on their list of needs coming into this season right now when you're in crisis, when you're one like versatile wing that you have is on the disabled list for 15 to 20 games. So that I think that I see a lot of just like, why are they signing another guard? But outside of that, like, I mean, it is Russell Westbrook. I mean, he's going to be in a Kings uniform. It's kind of cool.
when you
Kings have two Hall of Famers on their roster
too. Yeah.
They might have more than that. I mean,
Yeah, for sure.
Zach Levine, obviously. Oh, Domas, of course. Of course. I'm talking to Montez Sabonis. Sorry.
They're in crisis mode. They didn't do what they needed to do in offseason. In some cases, they couldn't do what they needed to do in offseason, and Keegan Murray got hurt. I'll ask anybody this, and I don't expect Zach Lowe from 3,000 miles away to answer this and understand this, but I'll ask James Hamm. One of the scenarios people talked about was extended minutes at the four for DeMar DeRozan. Who would you rather have play the four, DeMar DeRozan or Russell Westbrook?
The four?
Mm-hmm.
Man, Russell Westbrook is 6'2 and a quarter. I don't want to play in the four. Like, I don't think he's a forward at all. I think he's been a guard, a point guard for his entire career. No, I mean, DeMar DeRozan, when he was with Chicago, played a ton of four. Like, he did. That's what he played primarily. They had him play more of a, like, a center field, but they had him, you know, again, they had Patrick Williams playing against most of the athletic, like, threes that they went up against. So I would definitely say DeMar DeRozan at 6'6 is a better fit. But the real answer is neither. Like, realistically.
Of course.
Yeah, the real answer is that. It's to go out and find somebody who's 6'8 that can actually play basketball.
Of course. Of course. We would all choose for something different to happen. But that's not reality right now. They made their bed. Nobody said they had to go through the summer not signing a guard, but that's where they're at right now. And I think that's like where Doug Christie is. Like, I can wish upon a star for whatever I want to, but this is what I have right now, you know, and I've got to make do with what I have at this particular moment. I only ask that question because I'm of the belief, could be wrong, but I'm of the belief Russell Westbrook at this point in his career in certain matchups can play a four. Once again, I always go to this, and this isn't who you're going to play every year or every game. But you mean to tell me Russell Westbrook would struggle to guard Jake LaRavia or Rui Hachimura? He would struggle. Like, he would have a problem knowing how physical he is, knowing how he is. I was watching the tape earlier this morning where they had Keon Ellis, who is in the same vein, the same type of player, guarding Jimmy Butler on plays. Once again, yeah, it's certain matchups. Like, I don't want Russell Westbrook guarding Julius Randle. That's a problem. But you mean to tell me, and tell me if I'm wrong, dead serious, he would struggle guarding Jake LaRavia, Derrick Jones Jr., or Rui Hachimura?
I don't know. I think when I come in tomorrow, you're going to have Russell Westbrook playing.
Nah, I mean, that's, like, not an answer. I asked you a question. Do you think it's a serious question? You can tell me, yeah, I think he'd struggle if that's what you believe. But I'm asking you, do you think he'd have a problem guarding Jake LaRavia or Derrick Jones Jr.? Because those are the guys he's being matched up with coming off the bench.
Not at the four. Like, at the four, like, again, a better question, because, I mean, they're playing the Clippers tonight. Can he go in and play John Collins? And the answer is no.
No,
we can't play John Collins.
You wouldn't play him in that situation. You wouldn't put him in that situation. And that's what I'm saying. There are matchups where you can go three-guard lineup or you can go small ball. It's not because of what they've done or lack of what they've done in the offseason, you can't just throw somebody in there and say, yes, play against every team. They don't have no Naz Reid like we talked about earlier. Or against every team, that's your four or your backup four. Yeah. Because of what they did, I'm not saying they did right. What they did, you have to mix and match. And yes, there's matchups that you do not want him going up against somebody. Hell, Naz Reid is a backup. You don't want him playing four against Naz Reid. That's a problem. But, yeah, you put him against Jake LaRavia. And if the Lakers want to say, you know what, Luka, forget you and forget what you got going on. Let's run this through Jake LaRavia because he's got Russell Westbrook on him. By all means, please do that. Do that. There are certain matchups where he can get that done.
Yeah, there are certain matchups where he can play the four, but let's just be honest. He goes up against, I hate saying this, what if he goes up against Dario Saric or Isaac Jones or name that king that the Kings might, you know, there are a ton of 6'8", 6'9", 6'10" power forwards in the league. And even stretch fours, yeah, okay, there are still a bunch of stretch fours that are way too big for even DeMar DeRozan to play, let alone Russell Westbrook. So
once again, those guys, you want to run an offense through them? You want to run off? Did you say Jake LaRavia, you'd have a problem? If you're J.J. Redick, Russell Westbrook's in the game, he's guarding Jake LaRavia. You clearing out so Jake LaRavia can go to work for the next 4 minutes?
I might think about it, but I'd also just say shoot. I'd say just shoot right over the top of him.
Okay. You shoot all the shots, Jake LaRavia. Shoot them all.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, you just played Portland where their backup power forward is Jeremy Grant at 6'8". You know, like, again, like there is no perfect solution here. But I get that. But like my solution is like, if you're going to sign Russell Westbrook, you're signing him to be your backup point guard. I understand that, you know, I would make the argument that you trusted Malik Monk to be your backup point guard last season and the season before. So like, I'm not sure why you need a backup point guard, a third point guard. Okay. Which is what Jordan McLaughlin played last year. Mm-hmm. Barely got off the bench because mm-hmm. no one was hurt in front of him. But even, you know, like you got to figure out ways to go out and get the players that are necessary in order to run an NBA system in the modern NBA. And it's not going out and signing Russell Westbrook at 6'2", so he might be able to play power forward for you.
Like, if we're going to call people, they're, I'm not saying it matters, but he's not 6'2".
I'm just telling you.
He's 6'4".
Yeah, he's listed as 6'4".
I can show you in the combine, he measured in at 6'2¼".
Okay.
And Christian Brown measured in at 6'5½".
Okay. I call Christian Brown 6'6". That's what he's listed at right now. That's what I call him as.
Well, that's fine. You can say that, but I mean, that means he's wearing a half inch shoe. I mean, he measured in at the combine at 6'5½". I looked earlier. Okay. So like you want to call him whatever height you want to call him. That's
it's
fine,
not whatever I want to call him. It's what he's listed.
The
at.
True measurements are without shoes in the NBA at the combine. One of them was 6'2¼", 6'5½". What's that?
This is going great. This is going exactly as I expected. Now,
very confused.
To be clear, I didn't anticipate a conversation about Westbrook at the four. I did anticipate a conversation about Westbrook just in the lineup in general and how you're going to. This is the reality. This is what we talked about earlier. Russ playing anywhere other than 1, 2, 3. We're talking patchwork. This team is going to patchwork their lineups and their rotations until Keegan Murray is back. Barring a trade before 1 week from today, with a starting caliber four, probably a tough get 6 days before the season starts. They're just going to, whether it's Isaac Jones, whether it's Dario Saric, whether it's Maxime Reynaud, they're just going to have to patch this. If it's putting Keon Ellis, Zach LaVine, Russell Westbrook, DeMar DeRozan all on the floor with Domantas Sabonis at the same time. If they do that, there's a reason that they're doing it. Doug is determined there's a reason that they're doing it. And they're just trying to patchwork this thing without Keegan Murray to try to win a basketball game. And then you won't see it again.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, I just think like this isn't what like patchworking this thing through. That's not what you really want to do to your head coach.
Like, you don't have a choice, Hammer. That's my point. Like, you don't have a choice. They don't have a good option.
No, I get you. They don't have a good option. I totally agree. But you had an entire summer to address the situation. And that's where I'm at. Like this is fine. You know, again, Russell Westbrook, I don't have anything against Russell Westbrook being on the Sacramento Kings. But Russell Westbrook makes a lot of sense if you would have traded Malik Monk for player X, Y, or Z.
To me, it makes
where he would have made a ton of sense.
I just wish you you'd still be in a position to need another guard. I still wish Valanciunas was here. I can't get over that.
Yeah.
I still wish Valanciunas was here, because we keep talking about the four and like it's the new backup five. Remember when Mason Plumlee was our Lord and Savior? He was going to come in and fix everything. Like all of this talk about the four, all of this talk about Russell Westbrook, the backup five, that conversation is going to be had again this year. And I still maintain you could have, you know, you were talking about, I don't know that Domas at the four is the best move long term, but we're talking about patchwork. You absolutely could have put Valanciunas and Domas out there at the same time. And Russell Westbrook would have been your point guard.
Certainly against a couple of teams, that would have been a total possibility. Again, against a team like the one you're going to face tonight, against the Utah Jazz that you face game two, you easily could have gone, Valanciunas and Domas. But, you know, Doug did talk about this. He said, you know, I tried the two big lineups and one game it worked. And one game it didn't. He's like, so like that's the way it goes. He's made these comments, and I think people think he's being funny, but he's like, you know, I try things and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't, and then you got to move on. And so there's always going to be a possibility that you can run a four guard set out there, and if Russell Westbrook gets switched on to a four for 2 minutes, you're like, okay, it is what it is. And you'll see if it works or whether it doesn't. But in the real world of the NBA, you would not choose to do that. And you would not choose to walk into a season with a glaring hole on your roster for like the fifth consecutive season. But that's where they're at. And so, like, again, Trey Lyles walking through that door, strangely enough, would actually really help this team. And that tells you a lot. I mean, Trey Lyles is playing in Spain, and he's playing in Spain because there weren't a bunch of opportunities here, and he didn't want to wait around to see if some roster spot opened somewhere. But that's where this team is. A player like that could really help them. There's a good chance they're starting Dario Saric, yeah. Which we thought that there was a better chance that Dario Saric was going to get waived and stretch provisioned than would ever show up and play in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Like, just straight up, like they could use that $3 million that they would have cleared the cap space. But the answer to Dario Saric is probably your starting power forward on day one. Mm-hmm. And that, hey, like, look, that's not ideal. That's not how anyone drew this up. And if they did, that's not even 2K. That's just a roster with a giant hole in it. So I don't know what to say other than like, look, this thing is always going to be a work in progress. A lot of the contracts that they have are bloated and they can't get rid of. And, you know, again, I don't have anything against Zach LaVine as an offensive weapon. I think he's been absolutely spectacular. And he's saying he's going to play defense and he's actually better than people think. Okay, that's fine. The problem isn't so much Zach LaVine. It's Zach LaVine at $47 million. That's the problem. At Zach LaVine at $30 million, then you have the money to go sign another $17 million player or two $8.5 million players. Like there's, and then you have the depth that you need to withstand something like this. But going into a season, you know, again, this is all worst case scenario. Like losing Keegan Murray is worst case scenario for this team.
Do you think that Russell Westbrook being on the team now? I know we talked about Malik Monk, Keon Ellis. Do you think he may end up taking away from Nick Clifford's minutes?
Yeah. I mean, Nick Clifford is probably going to be one of the players that loses minutes unless Nick can play the four. And again, that's something that, you know, they're going to have to look at. Because the only way to make it work with now, you know, even before this, you had four guards that are all, you know, 25 to 30 minute per game guards, you know, and it, you know, you could say, okay, well, Malik more like 23, 24 minutes or Keon at like 24 to 28 minutes, but like still Zach LaVine at 34 minutes, Dennis Schroeder at 28 to 30 minutes. Like you're out of minutes already. There's only, you know, 48 minutes at each of the positions. So we've already gone well over there, and that was going to bleed into the small forward position, and they're going to have to play three guard sets, or they're going to have to ask one or two of these guys to step up and play the three part-time. That when you add in Westbrook, now you have five guards that need to eat and need minutes. You're going to have to, and that's not even talking about Devin Carter. So yeah,
we don't have to.
Into the three.
We literally don't have to.
No, but I'm not saying that we would. But
do
yeah.
they have to eat? I mean, I think Zach does. Mm-hmm. I think DeMar does. Until DeMar proves he's not a 20-point-per-game scorer, which I believe 16 years in, he's never proved that that's not the case. Zach LaVine, the best scorer on the basketball team. But are we riding in Dennis Schroeder for 30-plus minutes a night?
Well, the way they talk about him, yeah, I mean, they're talking about, I mean, at least 28.
Hmm.
Like, that seems like it's a minimum for the way that they talk about Dennis Schroeder.
Hmm.
But again, like, start doing the math, and what about Keon? And Keon's the one guy that you would hope that would be on this roster in 2 years when the other guys might be gone. And he could be the guy who ends up with the, you know, drawing the short stick here, because he's the one who's not a natural playmaker. He's the one who, you know, is a catch and shoot guy and who plays defense, but he's all the other guards they have. Pretty much, I mean, I'm not talking about Devin Carter. I'm talking about the other, you know, Monk and Westbrook and LaVine. Like, those guys are all, you know, guys who can create for themselves and play make and all that stuff. That's not Keon's specialty, nor does it have to be his specialty. But, like, you worry about guys like that kind of getting lost in the shuffle. Mm. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting day in King's Land. I mean, this is a wild signing, and I know a lot of people are like Damian, like you, are like super excited. I just think, number one, I'm wondering why they waited until a week before the season started. Wouldn't it be nice to have Russell Westbrook, you know, playing against your team all throughout the preseason and all throughout training camp? That seems like it would have made sense. But also, like, you have this other glaring issue with your roster that you did not address, that it, which like really, really reminds me of the Ray McCallum situation years ago when they went out and got Royce White when Michael Malone was begging for a point guard. Please sign me a point guard. And they go get Royce White and say, nah, sorry, we're bringing in this guy. 6'9" power forward. Hopefully he might be able, he's a really good distributor. He might be able to play that point guard for you. Like, okay,
so that's also. But I want to ask the question right there. Yeah. Do you think Scott Perry made this move without being in conjunction with Doug Christie?
I think he made this move because he thought it brought talent to his roster.
Do you think Doug Christie, he asked him or anything? They had a discussion about it at all, and Doug was like, "Yeah, I'm cool with that. I can work with it."
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. But so, again, if you would ask Doug, you know, I've got this other guy who's 6'8". Would you rather have him or would you rather have Russell Westbrook? Like, that, I don't know that discussion took place. Sure. And the
well,
one thing
probably
I
didn't, because there's no 6'8" player exist. To ask.
Like, of course, like if you said, yo, go get me.
Do you want Jay Crowder to anchor the end of the bench again?
Go get me any power forward that can start and we can just trade for him. I'm sure he'd be like, yeah, we could do that. But that guy's not there. And that's it. Like, nobody's absolving them of the mishaps of the summer or even before they even got here. But mm-hmm. we're dealing in the reality of today. That player doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. So if you ask, like, if Doug said, yeah, go get me such and such, I'd be like, all right, cool. He don't exist. Do you want Russell Westbrook or not? And he can say yes or no to that.
Russell Westbrook strikes me as the type of player Doug Christie would
absolutely
love. And let's also be clear, because James, you said, I know you're really excited. I am, for very selfish reasons. You both, everyone who has listened to this show for 6 seconds during a basketball season knows that's been my favorite player for the better part of a decade. That's why I'm excited. Not because I think he's changing the fortunes of the Sacramento Kings. Those are two very, very different things.
No, I get you. Like, I, you know, I saw someone in the chat, like, is this just to put butts in the seats? And it's like,
I don't think that's what this is going to do. I don't think that's at all what this is going to do. One, you don't take a team where people either like just love them, this is my basketball team, or it's like, Jesus Christ, these guys suck, and add a player who has that same exact dynamic. You either, no one that I know is indifferent to Russell Westbrook. You love him or you hate him. That is not going to put butts in the seats when it's one extreme or the other. Mm-hmm. It's DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins was a love or hate. Russell Westbrook is the same thing.
Yeah, but you're going to get a group of people that...
Go sign DeMarcus Cousins. How come no one has said this yet?
That love him. You're going to get the people that love him that show up to games because he's there. And you're like, hey, I'm going to go check it out. I want to go see Russell Westbrook.
For sure. I completely agree. I think that's a possibility if the ticket prices drop. I think at the current state of ticket prices, I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I think 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 5 years ago, I think people would be really excited about signing Russell Westbrook. But again, this is kind of the tail end of Russell Westbrook. And I don't know, I haven't actually done the numbers, but I don't know how many players I've seen come through Sacramento and it's the last time they play in the league. But it's a lot. So this is an NBA outpost. And, you know, so I would have thought Russell Westbrook would have gone and played for a team that was further along in what they're trying to build. But hey, look, he's here. I don't have any problems with him. I'm looking at this situation and going, I don't envy whoever draws a short straw. And then like, what does that cost you? Like long-term. And if it's, you know, a short-term answer with Russell Westbrook, which it is, it's one season, right? Which, you know, could bleed into a second season or whatever. But for right now, let's just look at it as one season. But in that one season, like, are you going to damage the value that you already say is really low in Malik Monk? Are you going to run Keon Ellis out of the building? Like, this is, to me, like, I'm not worried about the Devin Carter situation at all. That'll take care of itself. But some of these other situations do matter. And if you're trying to bring along a young player like Nick Clifford, like, these situations matter if all of a sudden they're blocked from playing. And they're blocked from playing because, you know, again, Zach LaVine is playing the small forward behind DeMar DeRozan, and he's playing, you know, 18 minutes a game at the small forward. And now that ate up the 18 minutes that you might have given Nick Clifford.
This is going exactly as I expected. So we'll come back and we'll continue to agree on nothing when D'Lo and KC and the Insiders, James Hamm with us, Kyle Madsen here with us on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly,
clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
We were talking minutes during that commercial break, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who it was. Put like a
TCG.
TCG. Oh, right on TCG. Put up a projection of like minutes, and we were talking about Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook averaged 26 minutes with the Denver Nuggets last year, and you said 24 or 23 the year before, Hammer.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I think it was closer to 27 minutes last year, and the year before he was at 23.
I see.
But yeah, I mean, last year he played. He averaged 27.9, so 28 minutes per game last year. The year before he's at 22.5, and of those minutes last season, again he started 36 games, and in the 36 starts he played well over 31 minutes a game.
Okay. Well, we can all pretend to be Doug Christie if we want. I mean, that's part of what we do, right? Like, we pretend to be Doug Christie. We pretend to be Scott Perry. We pretend to be general managers and coaches. And we try to put all of this stuff together and say, well, this makes the most sense and this makes the most sense. The fact is, I know James has presented a couple of scenarios from the past, none of which I think apply here. I think Scott Perry and Doug Christie are in lockstep with the moves that this roster is making. I think Russell Westbrook was brought in on a vet minimum contract. I think he is the exact type of player with the exact type of attitude that both Scott Perry and Doug Christie would love. He's a polarizing player with a strong personality and a storied history in the NBA. What he means for wins and losses for the Sacramento Kings is probably minimal. They're still log jammed at the guard position. There was no four out for them to sign. Keegan Murray didn't get healthy because of the Russell Westbrook signing. Although the questions that were there yesterday are still there today, although the questions that we have right now won't be answered when the Sacramento Kings take the floor at 7 o'clock. They won't be answered when they walk off the floor at 9:20. And we're going to be back here tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. doing the same exact thing. That's how the game works.
Yep.
That's how. So we're gonna get a game in, and the good thing about at least the end of the preseason, they're gonna play Wednesday. They're gonna play again Friday.
Yeah.
So we're gonna get like, okay, we're going to have takeaways from tonight's game, mm-hmm. and then you know Friday or for us come Monday morning, we're gonna have something to compare them to, mm-hmm. and then we're just going to what if ourselves to death leading into Phoenix. And that's the life of a sports fan.
And James, we talked about it earlier. One of the reasons why I even brought up Russ at the four, that's not who is going to be at the four. Like, that's not who you want to be at the four, anything like that. But what I was getting at, and we talked about earlier, is because you didn't do your due diligence where you have somebody to just slide in and replace Keegan Murray, you probably don't even have two guys like that could fill in that one role. And I'll ask you, I won't assume, is it going to be a game-to-game situation, matchup-to-matchup situation at that spot? Some nights you'll go with Sarge, and that'll work out for you. Some nights you'll go with DeRozan at the four, and that'll work out with you. Some nights you may go with Isaac Jones. I believe it's not going to be something that, all right, Keegan is out, and this one person is going to fill in those minutes, and we're going to do it that way. Because the roster is so imbalanced, it's going to have to be, I believe, a game-to-game, matchup-to-matchup situation.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. Like, you know, again, I think Dario Saric might make sense, especially against Utah in game two. You know, when they're playing like a two, like really close to seven-footers, and you're going to have to figure that out. Now, I would never have like written in my script that Dario Saric is trying to slow down Lauri Markkanen. That's not something I would like. That's not a good thing. I don't know what's going to happen in that situation, but like there's always a possibility that there is a little bit more in the tank in Dario Saric than what we think. And we're going to see that play out. And I mean, realistically, Dario's got to get you like 20 games. Can you get me 20 games until Keegan's back and at full speed? And then from then you can scale him back. But in the meantime, like, look, if you're going to go up against teams with smaller front lines, then you'll go small, you know? But I mean, we talked about this before. You play OKC three times in the first 20 games of the season. Like, somebody is going to have to match up with Chet Holmgren. I don't know who that is, but somebody is. And you play Denver three times, I believe, in the first 19 games. Somebody's going to have to match up with Aaron Gordon. And you don't have that player as of right now, but Isaac Jones might be the closest thing to you have to someone that can match up against Aaron Gordon. And so you might have to sit here and pick and choose your games and say, okay, you know, yeah, it's possible you play the Bulls and Patrick Williams is starting at the four. You can slide DeMar DeRozan over and have him play the four and put Keon Ellison starting lineup and move Zach LaVine to the three. That's a possibility. So I think it is going to come down to like mixing and matching and figuring out, you know, what works one night to the next. I would be surprised if one player starts the next 19 games at the power forward spot. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, this group has to be out there shopping there and doing their due diligence, kicking every single tire around the league, turning over stones and seeing if you can find a player that can help you, because this isn't a short-term situation and it's not a situation that you didn't know was a possibility. Like if there is a young forward out there that you think can be a game changer for you, like use a draft pick, you know, go ahead and do whatever you got to do to make this not short term, to make this team good. And that's where, again, like, are we going to have Kuminga Watch 2.0 starting in January? When, you know, he becomes available, what, January 15th or whatever it is? Yeah, like we might. And we might start entire thing up. Exactly. Thank you. Kuminga Watch.
You could have let it ride. It's all right.
Yeah.
The answer to that is yes. Like that's absolutely going to happen. And then like the discussions around the trade deadline are going to be crazy. Like they're going to be absolutely nuts. And if it doesn't go our way, man, it's going to be bad. It's going to be 10 times worse than today.
Oh yeah.
And that's the, I brought this up earlier, Hammer. I think the number one thing, Russ or no Russ, Kuminga or no Kuminga, the fan base doesn't like this basketball team. They don't. They don't like DeMar. They don't like Zach. The thing that they like the most, and this is so sad, the thing that they like the most about this basketball team is Doug Christie and Bobby Jackson. Now, you might like Keon Ellis. You might like Keegan Murray. But you don't like them more than you like Doug Christie and Bobby Jackson. And they're kind of what you hold on to as to what you love. And you know, we were talking about prices and attendance and what this season might look like. And we were looking at tickets a couple of minutes ago and all sorts of those, all those different things. And we go back to the, you know, because I said to Kenny earlier, I don't know if this franchise is ever going to be good, like sustainably long-term good. And he doesn't, you know, he believes that they are. I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like, I have no idea. There's a lot of history. There's a 40-year history that says they're not, because a very small portion of it, they have been. But I remember this team was always loved with the likes of Wayman Tisdale and Lionel Simmons and Dwayne Causewell, Spud Webb. You know, Mitch Richmond came in here, started to change things. But like this, the team was loved then. I feel like over the last 20 years or so, or really since that team that made the playoffs against the Spurs disbanded and all that went with that, there have been a lot of teams. This fan base is just genuinely not liked most of the teams that have been here. They've liked players here and there, but like the teams as a whole, nah. And I don't know if it's a product of, you know, once you win, your expectations change and your feelings change and you love differently after you win some games and you're supposed to be an NBA champion in art. Or if the guys have just been unlikable. Mm-hmm. And we're just in the next cycle of that.
Yeah, I mean, Sacktown Tony puts it up here. Beam Team was loved, for sure. And that tells you the whole winning cures all thing. It is kind of like it stands the test of time. You win and people will love you. Mm. You lose and people are going to get angry. And to be honest with you, it's been, you know, the 16 years that I've covered the team, there's been one playoff season and then I like two play-in seasons. But overall, just like the quality of team is not good at all. And like, you're right, they're not likable a lot of the time.
I don't agree with any of that, by the way. I don't think the Beam Team was loved. Winning was loved, because how different was the Beam Team to the next year?
That's true.
And that love, and Kenny called this when the playoffs, before the playoffs were clinched, enjoy this moment, because it's, boy, when he said it, God damn it, did he mean it? Enjoy this moment, because it's never going to feel like this again. Your expectations are different. You're going to enter next season feeling differently than the way you did this season. And you're going to enter next season feeling more like you do now about that, but what you expect from this team and what they're doing. You're going to expect that next year. And if they fall short, your feelings are going to change. You know, they fell short and everyone's feelings changed.
You know who?
That team wasn't loved. I'm so sorry.
No, my smile.
That team wasn't loved. Winning was loved.
Do you know what was loved the most about Beam Team 1?
The beam.
The beam. Literally. That's what I, 100%. That's what was loved about Beam Team 1.
Yeah, I agree a little bit, but I'd also say, like, the Kings are, they're kind of like your kids. Like, you love them no matter what, but when they bring home an F every single time, you're like, okay, man, you're really, really frustrating me. And when you're bringing home D's, and then when you want to celebrate that you put together a C product, you know, then you're like, okay, I guess we can celebrate a little bit. Like, how about you go out there and give me straight A's once or twice? Make me feel like you care as much as I care. And I think that that's where Kings fans are. It's like they're always wanting the team to love them as much as they love the team. And it's just really hard. So like, look, I hope that this season's different than we think it's going to go. But, like, I don't know. It's tough. It's certainly tough to look at this team and go, okay, this is it. And, again, for me, I'm looking at this team and going, I don't know if, you know, Red Auerbach or you know, Prime Phil Jackson or, like, I don't think it matters. I mean, it can matter who's coaching, but I don't think that there's a lot that anyone could do with a team that has the flaws that this team has going into the season where you can project like something much better than like what you guys have topped out at, like 45, 46 wins. That's fine. If that's what you're hoping for, that's one thing. But like you can't, there is no way to envision this team going further than that. And it's because of the like standard flaws in the roster. Like one of the biggest issues about Russell Westbrook, it's not any of, you know, again, the turnovers are one thing, but it's that he, like Dennis Schroeder and like DeMar DeRozan and like so many of their other players, they just don't shoot the three. And then modern NBA, you know, teams are out there shooting 40 threes a game, like most teams in the league are. And you got a bunch of guys who are like career 30 to 32% shooters from three. It's just tough.
Hammer, real quick, you don't have your customary quarter zip on. Do you need to get going?
Yeah, I got to run.
All right, Hammer's off to the Golden One
Center. Did you have one more question? No?
No, you're good. No, you're good. You're good. We'll be following you. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Sounds good.
All right, it's our man James Hamm right there. He's off to cover the Sacramento Kings, who I believe, checking email, still haven't officially announced the signing of Russell Westbrook. So Doug and all parties involved will not field any questions regarding the signing of Russell Westbrook tonight. But once it's official, I'm sure they'll be fielding questions tomorrow at practice.
You know what's interesting, and what I'm trying to figure out, And I honestly think at the end of the day, we've said this all day long, and I think this is the overriding issue with this team. Once again, it's not Russell Westbrook. It's the team, the franchise, the owner that people don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Westbrook is just a person that you can vent your frustrations about, right? Mm-hmm. But I say all that to say, because James talked about, you know, we just want to know as Kings fans and as a city that you care as much as we do. The person that they got today will exude that same type of care about going out and competing. The person that sits on that bench, Doug Christie, will exude that same
type of
care.
There is a human being on earth that cares more than he does.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of guys who Keon Ellis is that way. I think Domantas Sabonis is like that. I think Dennis Schroeder will end up showing people that that's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of guys on this team that will, that maybe they'll be like the L Train and Walt Williams. They're not very good, but man, we love these guys because they go out there and they play hard. And I don't know if that's good enough for this city anymore.
Well, because I was going to say, I have another reason why I don't think that'll be the case. They can go out there, they can play hard, but they're going to lose games.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to find out why they're going to lose games. And it's going to be talked about on D'Lo and KC and the insiders and social media and Instagram and TikTok and all of that. And it'll be $48 million, $40 million, $25 million. Like, that's a part of the sports conversation now. You make too much money to. Zach LaVine's a $48 million player. So and so, his team is 30-10, and he's a $42 million player. Like, I think that's gonna be a thing.
I agree with you.
Can I ask if it's? I don't want to pick apart what you said too much. You said the franchise, this roster, the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be out of line to say, I think fans love the franchise. It's why they're here. They hate the roster. They love the Sacramento Kings name. They don't love who wears the jerseys. I think here's the way of putting it. They love the franchise. They love the name. They love the Sacramento Kings. They love their city. They love their hometown team.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like this roster. They hate the owner.
I agree. I agree with that whole thing. And
like a lot.
Right.
The last one. A lot.
Right. And, you know, the reason why.
And I know this because when Beam Team went, they hated him then. Like, there was no softening of Avec Ranadive when the team won. They hated him.
Right. Right. And like I said, this the reason why I feel how I feel about, like, they'll be good at some point is when we started this show. Like, we, people understandably, and they push the goalposts wherever they need to. But how many times did we hear when we were doing this show, they will never make the playoffs with Avec Ranadive as the owner. They just never will. And I would always say, yes, they will. Like, let's stop being dramatic. Will they be sustainable? Will they win a championship? I don't know nothing about that.
Yeah.
But eventually, people make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it all through sports. The Cubs, the Lions, the Clippers. These teams, I live through, I'm never going to Levi's Stadium because they left Candlestick Park, and I hate Jed York. They will never be good with Jed York as the owner. He needs to sell the team. I'm not saying people don't have reasons for feeling that way, but I can't tell you when it's going to happen. But yes, it will change. It will change.
I think you guys are addressing maybe 10% of Kings fans.
They all listen
really?
To this
Maybe 20.
Show. They all listen to this show and
yeah,
tweet
no,
us.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, because they're on Twitter and they're on. But yeah, if you go to Golden One Center, and 10% is probably low, but I bet it's 30% have strong feelings about Avec Ranadive. I bet most people be like, nah, I don't. Doesn't bother me. I'm going to wear my season starts. I'm going to throw my purple jersey on. I'm going to show up at Golden One. I'm going to cheer my face off.
You're probably
like, I think that's, I think that we, because of the space we exist in and what we do for work, like you said, we attract the people who are going to be most passionate and most knowledgeable. But I think for
that's a
the
very
large swath of Kings fans. It's just like, nah, I'm going to go root for the Kings, that's and if a, you wear our jersey, I'm in.
That's a very level-headed take.
Thank you.
I hate the word take, but it's very good. I also could not disagree with you more.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you walk around and you talk to those passionate people at the Golden One Center, the ones who might not be in the chatty house, the mm-hmm. ones who aren't on Twitter, the ones who mm-hmm. aren't flooding your mentions with whatever, mm-hmm. they're saying the same things. God, what do you think? I was at a wedding. God, my man Wes, what? Man, I listen to your I listen to your podcast all the time. Great.
But he listens.
Well, what do you think? Yeah, gosh, that owner, man. I don't know. He's not in this chat. He's never tweeted us. Like, when you walk around the Golden One Center and you talk to those people, again, we don't talk to 18,000 people when we're there, but we go to a lot of games. We talk to a lot of people. We talk to people at Sac State. We talk to people at grocery stores. They say the similar things. Their frustration with the franchise, their frustration with the Rockies. Now, they might not be full of venom like people on social media might be when they're standing directly in front of you. You're having a more
cat.
Yeah, well, might not be a cat. You're having a more level-headed conversation, but I think your idea is accurate. I think your numbers are not.
Okay, fine.
Great.
Make it 50%. Half of Kings fans don't hate Vivek. Yeah. Or think they'll never make the playoffs because of Vivek.
Maybe.
Or feel some type of way because of the owner.
Maybe. Do think a lot of, like, kind
I
of.
I want to ask Ish in D.C. or in the DMV what he thinks.
Hey, Ish is so deep in this. He knows. Nah, Ish hates
that poor
Vivek.
Guy, like, the pain of going to bed at 1:20 a.m. because you were watching your sorry-ass basketball team lose is indescribable. For people who don't like staying up till 1:20 a.m., i.e. me.
I would have been pissed, but I'd been all right.
No, you would have been fine because that's what you do. You're a psychopath.
Well, they lost the game. I wouldn't be happy about that. I just would be in silence being mad at 1 a.m. while the rest of the house is knocked out. Mm.
I think that's what you like, the alone time.
I do think that I think a lot of people just kind of regurgitate what they hear the masses say.
Sure.
Like, I don't know. Like Kyle said, I don't know. People may say, I hate Vivek and I don't like him. I think they just kind of go on with what they hear. I don't even know if they really understand, like, what the issue is. Because we break on it. I'm not saying Vivek is blameless, but we've talked about it.
Uncle B.
Just let the basketball people do basketball things.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, that's what he does all the time, and they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the problem. But what should it? Should he stand up and not listen to those people? Because from everything that we've heard and everything that we've experienced, the basketball people have been wrong at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but that's a little more nuanced when you talk about that kind of stuff.
I have a callback to, like, the beginning of the show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I asked my buddy to write up a Malcolm Brogdon retirement apology through ChatGPT.
Okay.
And I have it right here. Or not, a retirement letter. Okay. This is my first time reading it.
Okay. So to be clear, this is a Malcolm Brogdon retirement letter.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. From ChatGPT. I want to make it very clear, it's fake. After thoughtful consideration, I have decided to retire from the game of basketball. The sport has given me everything, the opportunity to compete at the highest level, to grow as a person, and to represent incredible organizations and fan bases. Sounds great so far. I'm deeply grateful to every teammate, coach, and fan who supported me along the way, blah, blah, blah. In recent months, there was speculation about me potentially joining the Sacramento Kings. While I was honored by the interest, I became aware of a comment made by multimedia personality Damian Barling, who once said he would, quote, jump off the Golden One Center if the Kings ever signed me. I can't in good conscience allow that to happen. I love the city of Sacramento too much to be responsible for that kind of chaos, so out of genuine concern for Damian's safety and respect for the Kings community, I've decided to step away from the game entirely. This wasn't an easy decision, but I believe it's the right one. Basketball has been a blessing in my life, and I'm excited for what comes next. With gratitude, Malcolm Brogdon. Wow. It's been confirmed.
So there are two things with this. Yes, one of my favorite moments in the history of the show. I want to be clear. I do not care enough about Malcolm Brogdon to jump off the Golden One Center. But I do.
He mentioned it in his retirement.
I do appreciate Malcolm Brogdon in his retirement letter saying me jumping off the Golden One Center would create chaos. It would not. It would merely create.
They would have to shut down Doka. There'd be traffic. Say,
it'd merely create traffic, not chaos. One last thing. We do have to go. One last thing. Jarvis said, how do you guys feel about the narrative that Westbrook can bring an attitude that can rejuvenate this organization, roster, and fan base? Jarvis, I love it. I don't think Westbrook can rejuvenate the fan base unless they're winning games. That's the only thing they can. And if Westbrook is needed to rejuvenate this roster, we're screwed anyways.
I think he can. Don't agree with those things.
Well, in honor of Kyle Mattson, put a pin in it.
Yes.
We'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll also recap Kings Clippers. We appreciate you so much for being with us today. We appreciate you coming to us anytime there is a major Kings story. We've got you back 10 times out of 10, and we'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.